Now to the book of Daniel, chapter 3. I'm going to read verse 24 and verse 25 in the fourth message in the third chapter of the book of Daniel, right after we pause in a moment of prayer. Our Father, we are grateful for thy blessings upon us and how we do rejoice for the foretaste of that glory divine that we feel shall be ours in the months of the summer. We pray tonight that thou wouldst charge us afresh and anew with the Holy Spirit. May we recognize that it is not by might nor by power, but by thy Spirit. May every person here be yielded to thy Spirit. That man that's unsaved, or that woman that's without Christ, or that family that needs a church home, that one that needs to dedicate and put his or her life upon the altar for revival during the summer, may they come tonight in the appeal to answer the call to go all the way with Christ. Bless us, we pray, with a great summer encounter and a great spiritual revival, even while others are talking about closing up their church on Sunday night in the summer. May we set this community on fire with the gospel and with love as we love our neighbors and our friends and bring them in to hear the gospel during the summer months. Bless, we pray, every phase of the service and of the ministry of this church here at home and around the world. In Jesus' name we pray, and for Jesus' sake, and with thanksgiving. Amen. Daniel chapter 3, verse 24. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished. Now that word astonished in the Aramaic in which it was written. Remember from chapter 2, verse 4 through chapter 7, verse 28. In the book of Daniel, those chapters were written in Aramaic, an ancient Syrian dialect that was used, spoken in Babylon at the time of Daniel. And the word astonished means terrified, horrified, astonished, astounded. Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. The third chapter of Daniel opens with Nebuchadnezzar building a great image, 90 feet high and 9 feet broad. It's overlaid with pure gold. It is set in the plain of Dura, just outside the city limits of the city of Babylon, representing evil, confusion. Wherever in the Bible the word Babylon is used, it is a symbol of evil. In the 17th and 18th chapters of the book of the Revelation, the mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots, is destroyed. And in the 18th chapter, verse 2, twice it is written, Babylon is fallen. Is fallen. And that says to the world, and that says to all nations, the one power represented by Babylon is forever crushed, and soon the Lord Jesus, the King, the Messiah, shall come from heaven with his saints, and it's recorded in chapter 19 of the Revelation, and shall reign upon the earth in rapturous glory for 1,000 years. Babylon, outside the city limits, Nebuchadnezzar placed this golden image, a self-deification, an attempt to get all the people, the millions, the multiplied millions in the 126 provinces from India to Ethiopia. Millions of people were commanded to bow down and worship this image when they heard the music playing. But there were three. Thank God for the minority. There were three, just three, who said, no, we will not bow down. They were brought before Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar rehearsed his threat. You can bow down, and if not, you will be cast into the fiery furnace. And they said, O king, we are not anxious to answer thee in this matter. We need no time for consultation, for conference, for parley. We answer you emphatically, directly, no, we will not bow down. If you put us in the fiery furnace, our God is able to deliver. And if God sees not fit to deliver us from the fiery furnace, he will deliver us from thy hand, O King Nebuchadnezzar. Well, they refused. They would not bow. They would not bend. And we are now seeing they would not burn. So Nebuchadnezzar instructs the men to heat the furnace 7 times hotter than it's ever been heated. The fires were so intense, the flames were so hot, that they reached out and grabbed the men who threw the three Hebrews into the fire and killed the men that threw them in. That's how hot it was. And Nebuchadnezzar thinks he can relax. To begin with, he couldn't believe that there were just three that would not bow down in all the millions of people. Three who would not bow down to his command. These boys had been brought up in Christian homes. They had been taught the word of God, the law of Moses from Mount Sinai. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. Thou shalt have no other gods. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Thank God for mothers and daddies who teach their children the word of God. And it's so important in these treacherous days in which we live. Thank God for parents who love their children enough to teach them the word of God. These boys would not bow, they would not bend, and they would not burn. Nebuchadnezzar relaxes for a moment. We read it just a while ago. But then he rose up. He was astonished. He was amazed. He was astounded. He was horrified. He was terrified. He couldn't believe his eyes. So he asked his men, did we not place three men bound? The verses that I read you last week said that these men were put in the fiery furnace with their hats and their shoes and their clothes and undergarments and everything on. Bound, thrown into the fiery furnace, heated 7 times hotter than it had ever been. Did we not cast three bound? Well, I see four loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And lo, the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. The fourth man, the fourth man. That's the title of my message tonight. The fourth man, the eternal and mysterious presence of God. Let me show you what we have in this prophetically. In the 14th chapter of the book of the Revelation, John on the Isle of Patmos said, lo, I looked, and upon Mount Zion there was a Lamb, and with him 144,000 who had the seal of his Father in their foreheads. And whithersoever the Lamb went, they followed him. Flaming evangels for Christ during the tribulation, a remnant of 12,000 out of every tribe of Israel, 144,000 Jews, will preach the gospel of redeeming grace during the tribulation period. These three, I believe, are a type of those who would not, at the threat of life, would not compromise. Here in the fiery furnace in Babylon, in the 6th century before Christ, is a picture of Israel spared a remnant in the tribulation period that's yet to come. What a picture. The Word of God is so full of such pictures and symbols and types and foreshadowings. And here it is for us in the book of Daniel, which is the key to all prophecy. We said in the first message that we preached on Daniel, to destroy Daniel is to destroy prophecy. To destroy prophecy is to destroy Christianity. To destroy Christianity is to destroy Christ. And if we destroy Christ, forbid, God forbid, perish the thought. If you try to drown him, he'll walk on water. If you put him in the fire, he'll come out unburned and unscorched and untouched. If you try to put him in prison, he'll break the prison bars loose. If you try to put him in the grave, he'll come up on the morning of the third day. Perish the thought that you could destroy him. But if it could be so, our foundation would be destroyed. And the Bible asks, if the foundation be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? Thank God the foundation can't be destroyed. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground is sinking sand. He stood every test, every storm, every peril, and with us he stands tonight to claim the city of Fort Worth in revival for the glory of God. I believe that with all of my heart. Now, here is the picture. And what do we see here? Three men bound, four men loose, walking in the midst of the fiery furnace. Now the modernists, of course, they'll deny this. They deny that there's any fire in hell too, but that doesn't mean there's not any fire down there. The Bible says there is, and I believe it. Amen. Let's go on record tonight believing what God says. Amen. And you know, God said that a big fish swallowed Jonah, and I believe it. Amen. If God said Jonah swallowed big fish, I'd believe that too. Amen. That wouldn't be any miracle for God. He put the stars in place. He put the sun in place. He created the heavens and the earth and made you and me in his own likeness. That's no problem for God. To put three men, yea, four men, in a fiery furnace. And they came out and didn't even smell like smoke. I want to add, that's more than God's done for some. But at any rate, they did not have the hurt of fire on them. And they did not smell like smoke. And they were loose, walking in the furnace. I tell you, brother, this is something else. I get excited when I think about it. Who is the fourth? Why, he's the Son of God. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He's my water. He's my bread. He's my rock. He's my salvation. He is my ever-present help in the time of trouble. He has promised never to leave us. And in the Greek, it says it five times. I will never, 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 never leave you. Amen. Isn't that great? I will never leave you, but go with you all the way. I'm here to tell you tonight that God will go with you across the street, next door, across town, or across the ocean. When you're out winning souls, when you're out working, when you're out serving your community, when you're out bringing in the bread for your family, I'm here to tell you tonight that Jesus Christ will go with you. He said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Walking. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. If there's one picture of the Christian in the Bible that's more pronounced than any other, it's the Christian walk. And the Christian walking. Walking with God. There's a song, I walk with the King, hallelujah. I walk with the King, praise his name. I roam no more. My face and my soul is set for heaven. I walk with the King. I talk with the King evermore. Oh, I like that. Jesus was in the fire. Who's the fourth man? Jesus. You mean that Nebuchadnezzar saw him as a man? Yes. Listen to this. I read in the book of Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and was made in fashion as a man. This is what is called before the coming of Christ to be incarnate in the flesh, a theophany, the pre-existence of Christ. Why, he walked with Adam in the Garden of Eden. He walked with Noah into the ark. He walked with Enoch, and the Bible says that Enoch walked with God and was not. Just one day out walking with God, and all of a sudden he wasn't. Disappeared, gone, because God took him. This same Christ walked with Enoch, walked with Noah, walked with Abraham, walked with Isaac, walked with Jacob, now walking in the fiery furnace. And the form of the fourth is like unto the Son of God. Aren't you glad tonight that if you have to go through the fiery trials, if you have to go through the dark valley of suffering and sorrow and tragedy and loss, if you have to climb the hill of difficulty and go through the tunnel of temptation, that he's promised never to leave you nor forsake you, but go with you all the way? If God calls you, young man, to go across the ocean, to be a flaming evangel for Christ, to be a missionary, to be a soul winner, to be an evangelist, don't forget, Jesus said, I'll go with you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So if it's through a fiery furnace, if it's through the perils and problems and persecutions and difficulties of life, fret not yourself. Jesus Christ is with you. Jesus Christ is your ever-present companion. I see four that are no longer bound. Isn't it wonderful that Christ liberates us? Amen. They're no longer alone. There's a fourth one. Isn't it wonderful that he keeps us company all the way? Now in this age, in this dispensation, hear me when I say it, God has sent the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And he is called a paraclete, which means one who walks along beside you. The Holy Spirit is right with us every moment. He's with us when we sleep. We don't recognize it, but he is there. He's with us on the job, in the home, in the classroom, wherever we are. He is with us. He liberates us. He forgives us. He watches over us. He supplies our needs. He answers our prayers. He lifts the burden from our soul. I see a fourth, and the fourth one is like unto the Son of God. Even 600 years before Christ was born, before he took upon himself the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, before he was incarnate in a fleshly body, God, the man God, 600 years before that, Nebuchadnezzar looks in a flaming, fiery furnace and sees the pre-incarnate Christ walking, fellowshipping, walking and keeping company with three little Hebrews that refuse to bow, to bend, or burn. And let me tell you tonight, whatever the challenge, whatever the enticement, whatever the temptation, whatever the command from the world, if you'll refuse to bow down to it, if you'll refuse to bend, then you won't burn. If you'll refuse to compromise, I believe this with all of my heart, the time has come when we as Christians must make ourselves known. We must let the world know that we are Christ. We belong to him, and he belongs to us, and he's living within. We've too long put our light under a bushel. Jesus said, let your light so shine that others might see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Let's make ourselves known. Let's let this city and this county and this community know that God has promised to go with us even through the fiery furnace. Oh, I see a fourth. I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. When thou passest through the waters, they shall not overflow thee. When thou passest through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest in the fire, it shall not hurt thee, neither shall the flames be kindled upon thee. That's God's promise, and I believe it tonight. And I'm convinced if we as a church and we as families and we as individuals are willing to take God at His word, that's all God wants us to do. Did you know that? It's yet to be seen what God will do with a church that'll just take Him at His word. It's yet to be seen what God will do with your life as an individual if you'll just take Him at His word. Let me ask you tonight, do you think there's anything that God cannot do? Is there anything too hard for Him? Do you think it's too big a task for us to evangelize this community? Is it too big a task for us to claim this city for Christ? I don't believe it is. My God is bigger than this city. My God is bigger than this community. My God is bigger than my weaknesses. My God is bigger than your limitations tonight. And He's able to do far above anything that we could ask or think. I see four loose, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. And beloved, when we come down to the end of the way, and we are nearing death's valley, we can say with the psalmist, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. In the fiery furnace, Christ is with you. In the valley of despondency, Christ is with you. In the time of sorrow and tragedy and loss and disappointment and reverse in life, Christ is with you. For time and for eternity, in sickness and in health, in poverty and in wealth, night and day, life and death, there is the form of the Son of God in the person of the Holy Spirit. Thank God that we can go through all of these things, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me that I am His own. Who is the fourth? Who is the mysterious presence? Who is the eternal presence? None other than Christ. None other than Christ, our Savior. He's with you tonight to walk down this aisle and put your life on this altar. He's with you tonight to come and trust Him as your Savior. He's with you to bring your family and unite with the fellowship of this church. He'll be with you tomorrow when you go on the job. He'll be with us this week, the summer months, June, July, August, and on to evangelize this city and claim this community for Christ. Lo, I see four men, and the form of the fourth is the eternal presence, the Son of God. And we can go singing tonight, if Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. Let's stand for our prayer. Dear Lord, we thank Thee for that eternal presence, for the guarantee written, sealed, signed, delivered to us that Thou wouldst never leave us nor forsake us. We know that Thou hast never failed us. We know, Heavenly Father, that Thy word is true. Thou hast promised, and we believe it. Thou hast spoken. Help us to act upon it. Give us grace. Give us courage. Give us strength. Give us stamina. Give us determination to see this community and this city touched for Christ, yea, claimed for Christ in the summer season of this year. Dear God, I pray tonight for that man or woman, boy or girl, young person without the Savior. May they come and trust Him tonight. I pray, Heavenly Father, for those who need a church home. May they come and step out tonight and identify with this church. I pray, Heavenly Father, for those members of the church who need to come and pray. Pray for revival. Pray for their home. Pray for their families. Pray for their neighbors that are unsaved. May they come tonight. And dear Lord, if we ask not amiss, even as we prayed this morning, do it again, Lord. Do it again is our prayer in Jesus' name. While our heads are bowed, in a moment we'll sing an invitation appeal. But think with me for a moment. If you're here without Christ, we invite you to come. Oh, I know it might seem like a long way down here, but Folks, it was a long way up Calvary's mountain too. But even that, it's a long way to eternity without Christ. Don't let the distance keep you from it. Oh, you say, but I'll come some other time. There may not be another time. Come tonight. Anchor your faith in the Son of God. And this fourth one will be with you all the days of your life. Come and unite with the fellowship of the church. Come and pray for revival, for spiritual encounter, first in your own life and then in the life of the church and the community as we claim the city for Christ. While we sing,